Internet Governance. The workshop is co-sponsored by the Federal Office of Communications of the Government of Switzerland, the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee, the Consultative Committee on UN Information Technology of the China Association of Science and Technology, the Internet Society of China, the Association for Progressive Communications, and the Center for Global Communications of the International University of Japan. So my thanks to all of those partners for helping me to pull this together. Let me say a few words about the motivation and focus of this event. There's sort of an echo on this mic, isn't there? Are the other mics like this? Is this different? No. Okay, we'll echo. The concept of a development agenda has not really been in play in the internet governance debate too much, so I guess it might be useful for me to start by providing a little background framing of the discussion so everyone knows what we're trying to get at here. Everybody who's been involved in the internet governance debates of recent years has agreed that development is important. The importance of development with regard to internet governance has been constantly referred to by all stakeholders throughout the WSIS process, throughout the Internet Governance Forum process, and so on. The Athens Internet Governance Forum was indeed called Internet Governance for Development. So clearly there's a lot of broad consensus there. And there are, of course, bodies engaged in different aspects of internet governance that are doing work that is development-focused. And we'll be hearing later from somebody from one of the regional internet registries who can probably give you some sense of that. Nevertheless, when you think about it, it seems to me that there's been very little systematic, focused, and holistic collective consideration of the precise impact of global IG mechanisms on development. We haven't really talked through the linkages between how the institutional structures and the policies that they generate affect development, either pro or con, with any real consistency. Instead, in WSIS and the IGF, we've often focused more on political demands pertaining to which issues developing countries have concerns about, spam, interconnection, DNS, etc., but not so much on the institutional procedures and policies per se and what that might mean for development. Some stakeholders have suggested that there is no reason to have that kind of a conversation. After all, in their view, the existing institutions all are promoting development very effectively right now, so there's no need to real talk about how those institutions work to the end of promoting development. All we need to do is focus on capacity building so that developing countries can participate more effectively in the existing array of institutions, or also focus on national level reforms to establish enabling environments. Conversely, some developing country governments have often seemed to suggest that the single best way to promote development in IG is simply to increase their political influence in IG. And we've heard it with regard to ICANN, but also a lot of other issues, a sort of desire to expand the role of the state and expand the role of the intergovernmental organizations through which states cooperate in various arenas. Left unsaid in the process, though, has been precisely what problems current IG mechanisms pose for development per se, and why exactly the most effective solution to them would be to increase the power of governments. And for its part, I would suggest that the research community, of which I'm a part, and civil society, of which I'm also a part, haven't seriously worked through those linkages between internet governance mechanisms and development very effectively either. Although I note some encouraging signs of change, the International Institute for Sustainable Development has got a nice little book coming out now on internet governance and environmentally sustainable development, which is a helpful first step, and they're having a meeting in this room after this session. There's no real reason to believe right now that the situation will change in the foreseeable future. The trajectory, to me, seems to be for development to remain sort of a background, widely shared value, but not something that we really hone in on in terms of specifying linkages to the way IG mechanisms work. And to the extent that we discuss development, it usually ends up being about capacity building. So one option to think about whether or not we can do more to bring development to the fore and make it the focus of consistent and well-organized and structured discussion with respect to internet governance would be to consider evolving something like a development agenda. by a development agenda, I mean a holistic program of analysis and action intended to mainstream development considerations into global governance decision-making across the range of internet governance mechanisms. In the first instance, a development agenda is an analytical enterprise, monitoring trends, aggregating information, conducting analysis to assess progress. But there's no point in developing usable knowledge if you don't actually use it. And a development agenda can also be a process of identifying and generalizing good or best practices and of making careful tweaks to increase the development friendliness of procedures and policies. We've had some experience with these. In the World Trade Organization, and as part of the Doha round negotiations, they have the Doha Development Agenda. The Doha Development Agenda establishes in each of the different areas where governments are currently negotiating that development is supposed to be a baseline criteria for evaluation with regard to the rules of the game that are being negotiated and the commitments that are being made. And of course, in the WTO, the principal means of trying to promote development are technical assistance and what's called special and differential treatment, this notion that you give developing countries a little bit more leeway in making policy decisions and in adjusting to institutions and institutional requirements, and also more market access. And one might ask, are there any other kind of general principles like that that might be useful in thinking about internet governance? Similarly, we have the experience of the World Intellectual Property Organization. I'm sure people know that just recently, in 2007, WIPO adopted a development agenda, which is an evolution from an initiative by the governments of Argentina and Brazil, who then worked with another group of countries that became called the Group of Friends of Development. And they worked also closely with the Civil Society Coalition, which was important, to put forward a sort of holistic, multidimensional set of reforms for intellectual property policy at the global level, and generated a lot of real creative ideas along the way, such as focusing on questions of access to knowledge and the global sphere, public sphere, and so on, of ideas. And they adopted a development agenda involving a number of different elements that are quite interesting in terms of redefining how one does intellectual property policy and making development a central consideration. And they established a committee on development and intellectual property that's charged with monitoring, assessing, debating, and reporting on the implementation of the various recommendations about this. So my point is, we have experiences then in other major international issue areas where governments have decided to adopt development agendas in order to put development considerations at the front, on the front burner, and sort of say, okay, we have many different goals we're trying to realize, but development has to be considered one of them. And my question for today that's animating this event is, can we imagine any kind of similar effort with regard to internet governance, recognizing that internet governance is a very different space with a highly distributed range of internet governance mechanisms, not just one in the case of intellectual property or one in trade, but a range of them, and many of them are private sector or multi-stakeholder, so it's much more complex. Clearly, there's no one-size-fits-all kind of approach here that will work. We need to think about something more nuanced. And you could try to work out elements of the development agenda by identifying a range of different issues that arise in each of the different issue spaces, whether that is management of domain names, security, technical standardization, or whatever else, and say, what is the development component of that, and how well are these institutions currently serving the purpose of development with regard to that domain, and is there any possibility for improvement? That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it would be to look horizontally at sort of cross-cutting principles. We have these WSIS principles for internet governance that were agreed by governments that say that internet governance should be transparent, inclusive, and development-oriented. And one could say, how can we look across the range of relevant institutions in terms of those dimensions and try to promote those kinds of values? So there are different ways of going about this. I have my own views on what might work, what might not work. But I won't share those now. I want to only say that it is an open question whether this kind of an approach could be useful in some manner, particularly in a context like the IGF. The IGF has a mandate to look in this broad, holistic way at the internet governance terrain and to provide the possibility for non-binding dialogue, information sharing, et cetera. that might be well suited to thinking about a development agenda that is essentially a conceptual framework and a normative framework that might influence how internet governance is being done in different environments. And one can think of a number of ways within the IGF structures that one could start to promote such an agenda, including, for example, by creating a dynamic coalition. So this is all by way of background. There are undoubtedly very different views about what the priorities, approaches, and indeed the feasibility and desirability of such an effort might be. So what this event will do is try to solicit some views on these matters and see if there's any points of possible consensus. We have a very multi-stakeholder slate of panelists, so I think we should have a very good discussion on this. I've already introduced myself. The first speaker will be Cristiano Berberet. He's a Brazilian career diplomat currently posted in the permanent mission of Brazil in Geneva. He has degrees in law and diplomacy, and he was heavily involved throughout the World Information Summit and also heavily involved in WIPO and other areas, ITU, UNCTAD, and so on, related to global ICT policy. The second speaker will be Olga Cavelli. She's a university professor from Argentina with degrees in electronic and electrical engineering and an MBA and many other degrees, it seems. And she's also an advisor to the Foreign Ministry of Argentina on these sorts of issues. She represents Argentina in ICANN's GAC committee and also participates in other parts of the ICANN nexus, including the CCNSO. We were going to have, as our third speaker, Trevor Clark, but unfortunately, Trevor is the ambassador for Barbados to Japan, among other things, and he ended up having to be in Tokyo today. So after Olga, we will have Raul Echeverria, the executive director of LACNIC, the Internet Address Registry for Latin American and the Caribbean. He has a computer science degree and a master's degree in IT, and he's taught at different universities and been very involved in the evolution of the Internet in Uruguay and in Latin America more generally, and is an active presence in all the relevant sort of technical spaces. Then Henriette Esterhuizen, who is the executive director of the Association for Progressive Communications, one of the leading NGOs in this field. She's also the executive director, or she was the executive director of Sangonet, an internet service provider, an ICT training institution for the development sector in South Africa. And she was involved previously in human rights work and the struggle against apartheid in South Africa. And she's a founder of Women's Net and many other things as well. And finally, Peter Helmans. Peter is the head of corporate social responsibility at Nokia Siemens Networks. Previously, he was vice president of public and international affairs at the communication group of Siemens AG in Germany. He's been involved in all of these different WSIS and internet governance debates for many years, as well as previously the World Economic Forum Digital Divide Initiative, and the G8, the UNICT Task Force, and various other commissions and so on related to global ICT policy and internet governance. And he has degrees from Princeton and Georgetown, where I used to teach, so he clearly has good taste. Okay, so that's the background. And so what we'll do is we'll do a first round of interventions of perhaps 7 minutes each or so to get the juices going, and then try to have a little bit of interaction amongst the panelists and then with the floor as well. So with all that said, could we go to the first speaker, Cristiano?
Good afternoon for all of you, and even though we are already in the third day of the event, but allow me to say to all of you, welcome to Brazil. Okay. And I hope that all of you are having a profitable and very good time here in this IGF. Well, allow me to begin by saying that Brazil is a country committed to development. It is our understanding that the international community has two main goals. The first one is achieving peace, and the second goal is promoting development. Development has been the ultimate goal of Brazil's active role in the Doha round of negotiations. The previous round, the Uruguay round, had many achievements. The creation of the WTO itself should be valued as an accomplishment, which contributed to strengthening the multilateral system. The Uruguay round, however, also had many flaws, as the interests of developing countries were overlooked in many ways. In the Doha round, Brazil, India, and other developing countries have been leading discussions on the issue of the relationship between the TRIPS agreement and the Convention on Biological Diversity. The adoption of a disclosure requirement in the TRIPS agreement would be an effective tool against biopiracy, which would enable developing countries to combat the misappropriation of their genetic resources and traditional knowledge. That is why, within the Doha round of negotiations, we attach the greatest importance to the issue of the TRIPS and CBD. Allow me now to move and to talk about the experience that I had in WIPO. This year's WIPO General Assembly approved the development agenda, which was a proposal originally put forward by Brazil and Argentina 3 years ago. The successful strategy of the development agenda can inspire many lessons. A first one would be that an effective and resilient coalition of countries is necessary if fundamental changes are to be introduced in the multilateral system. In this sense, I would wish to highlight the fundamental role played by the Group of Friends of Development, a coalition of about 15 countries, which held together around the same objective of approving WIPO's DA. I should not forget to say that throughout 3 years of negotiations in WIPO, the Group of Friends deeply benefited from inputs from the civil society and other stakeholders. A second lesson from the WIPO's development agenda would be that a proposal, any proposal, needs to be credible and negotiable. I am personally convinced that the credibility and substance of the original Brazil and Argentina's proposal was something that allowed for negotiations and that invited the whole WIPO's membership to engage in discussions. A third lesson that I would wish to point out from the WIPO's process is that a health dose of compromise is absolutely necessary for any major achievement in multilateral negotiations. If no one is prepared to give in, consensus is not possible. The main accomplishment of the development agenda is providing an organization as WIPO with a new platform for modernizing itself and for putting into action a new set of activities on areas such as access to knowledge, transfer of technology, and capacity building. Now, turning to the theme of this meeting, which is a development agenda for internet governance, my preliminary reaction would be that such a new agenda would have to be built upon three main pillars. The first pillar would have to be the Tunis agenda. And when I say here the Tunis agenda, I'm referring to the four WISIS documents. Brazil is committed to the principles and programs contained in the Tunis agenda, which needs to be fully implemented. The Tunis agenda enshrined the three core principles of internet governance, which are multilateralism, transparency, and democracy. Furthermore, it established the main assumption that ICTs are not an end in themselves, and that they are rather tools for development. We should not reinvent the wheel, and an internet governance, DA, needs to be based on the Tunis agenda. The second pillar for an internet governance development agenda should be, in fact, the WIPO, DA itself. WIPO's development agenda brings forth about 40 recommendations, many of which deal with the production and access to content in the digital environment. There are many proposals related to collaborative development on the internet, open standards, alternative licensing schemes, and particularly free and open source software, topics which are essential components of any development platform related to the internet. If an internet governance development agenda is to be built, it should have an ample interface with its elder sister in WIPO. The third and last pillar that I would wish to point out is the IGF itself. An internet governance development agenda shall not succeed without IGF's enabling environment. In this sense, allow me to recall you that the IGF has been set up for an initial period of 5 years, after which an assessment will be made on the desirability of carrying on with this process. In the four remaining years before us, the IGF needs to consolidate itself and demonstrate to the international community that it is able to carry out its mandate as set out in the Tunis agenda. Brazil also understands that the success of the IGF also depends on the immediate start of IGF's parallel and twin process, which is the enhanced cooperation. Bill, I will finalize my introduction by now and say that I'm ready to interact with the audience when we open for questions. Thank you.
So next, Olga Cavelli.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for inviting me to the workshop, and thank you to the audience for being with us this afternoon. My presentation will be less formal than Cristiano's, but I appreciate all the information that he gave us, because I think, at least for me, it's very useful. I will focus more on my working experience with internet governance in Argentina. I am investigating this issue for my PhD, and I am also an advisor to the government, and I am a teacher. So I have several perspectives and I would like to share with you some experiences that we have been facing in the government and as a whole from the internet governance issue. All countries, we went to Tunis and we came with some nice ideas and with documents that Cristiano has perfectly referenced. Especially I want to point a sentence. We committed to build a people-centered, inclusive, and development-oriented information society. And for developing countries like Argentina, this has a very profound implication. Our countries could use, or are using, or trying to use technology, internet governance as a leapfrog for development. So understanding what's around internet governance, what's around internet, would lead our countries to a new stage of development. So I agree with Cristiano that a development agenda is relevant for developing countries, and in several fora, we have realized that we should improve our infrastructure. That's a main issue for accessing the information, and it's also relevant, as he also mentioned, to have tools for sharing the knowledge that we produce, and so we can improve and grow from there. But let me tell you, what happened when we came back from Tunis? We had all these interesting ideas about development, and we had to build this multi-stakeholder space in our governments, but also we had to build some new space in between the governments. And I find this the most challenging things for all the governments, especially in developing countries. What happened? Access is a problem, yes. We should improve our infrastructure, yes, we agree. So internet governance and development, it's a matter of infrastructure. But it doesn't end there. Then, it's content. We need content for schools, for universities. We need content for selling abroad, content in Spanish, in Portuguese. We have beautiful music from Brazil. We got nice soap operas from Argentina. But it's education. It's a matter of education. It's science and technology. We have teleworkers. It's a problem of the Ministry of Work. Well, it is. It's infrastructure, it's Ministry of Work, it's education, it's digital signature, it's planning, strategic planning of the country. And we found that we needed to build a new space for coordinating in between the different areas of the government, which not all the countries have managed to build. Previously, all the subjects, the relevant subjects of a country were managed in a separated way. But as internet governance and the internet influence is a totally cross-cutting issue, we face now this new challenge of getting this new coordination, which should be multi-stakeholder, but also should be multi, I don't know which is the word in English, I don't even know in Spanish, but it should be a multi-coordinative effort in between the different areas of the government. So, and also, I would like to stress that I think that Cristiano also mentioned that this coordination for development should be also faced in between different developing countries. I would like to stress a work that we have been doing with Brazil since, I think, more than a year in different forums related with internet governance and information society, which are regional or international, and we are working together different documents that we think are relevant for our countries. In general, we discuss in between the two countries, and then each of us take our consultations with civil society. And then we go together to different fora. We have been doing this at the GAC in ICANN. We have been doing this in meetings of the Regional Plan of Action, ELAC, which will be named 2010. It was 2007. So I would like to stress this because there are some barriers to make this issue of internet governance be understood by all the actors of the society. And one important point would be to get and to consolidate a national coordination and also a regional and international coordination in between countries that have more or less the same interests. We have also had some initiatives after WISIS locally in Argentina. I am a technical background person, but I work with diplomats, which is very funny because they are very well formed, but they sometimes don't have much knowledge about technical issues. So it's funny how we interact and how we complement. So after WISIS, we proposed the minister to create a new subject in the diplomacy career about technology, and it was a total success. I am the coordinator of this new subject, and of course I'm in charge of the only things that I know, which are ICTs and internet governance, but we also review biotechnology, nanotechnology, and other subjects. And we are working towards national coordination in a committee which is interministerial in Argentina, and we have this cooperation with Brazil in relation with internet governance and information society meetings. There are some spaces to in international and regional meetings that could be really useful for developing countries. I think that ICANN is doing some movements that are very useful for our countries. They have a fellowship program that promotes participation in the Governmental Advisory Committee for developing countries. There are also, let me check, I had some notes here. Well, ICANN is open to participation of multi-stakeholders in different constituencies and supporting organizations like At Large, GNSO, and also I would like to stress the role of Raul in the region. He will tell more what he does in LACNIC, but LACNIC is much more than what they do with IP addresses. They are a relevant organization in the region because they are also promoting projects for access, for developing access, and also for training. So, for finishing my reflections, I would like to take some ideas that were taken from some other development agendas issues, and our countries as developed countries should first define which are the main issues to focus on development. Then the countries should take the leadership in these issues, and they should promote participation in the development agenda in this different fora. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Olga. And now we'll be hearing from Raul Echevarria.
Thank you, Bill. Good afternoon, everybody. Okay, so one of the questions that the organizers made before the workshop is what are the components of the current internet governance system that are related with development or have some impact in development? So reflecting about that question, so I think that for example, in our case, the administration of IP addresses is has a very a big component related with development, because the function itself of the organizations that are in charge of the administration of IP addresses, that are the regional internet registries, help very much in the building of communities, regional communities, and in the creation of cooperation opportunities among the different actors in each region, in developing technical capacities, and through the discussion in our forums, and in the exchanging of experience. So, say, in other words, in the creation of critical mass. In the specific case of LACNIC, since the creation of LACNIC 5 years ago, there are much more people involved in the discussion of technical aspects related with the internet in LACNIC forums, and it has an impact in development, because without those capacities, the development is in some way in risk. So it's the existence itself of that organizations have an impact in the development. Beside that, as Olga pointed out before, the word development is part of the vision of LACNIC. So I think we see our organization with an important role in that field. We run a program together with the two partners, the Internet Society and the IDRC from Canada, a program that is named FRIDA. Through FRIDA, we have already funded 41 research projects related with ICT in Latin America and the Caribbean. We have spent more than $1 million in the last 3 years in that activity. We run other projects like the promotion of root servers copies in Latin America through a project that is named Plus Raices, and also projects regarding IPv6 deployment, training in different fields, security. So in security, we have built a community, a regional community about security, and we're also spending resources in getting a better coordination in the region among the people that is working on security aspects of the networks. Also, the LACNIC is also in charge of running, supporting a community that work in issues related with access, interconnection, and promotion of IXPs. And we have run workshops promoting the creation of IXPs. All the debates regarding interconnection issues, costs, and IXPs matters are held in the LACNIC environment. We have also a special agreement together with our colleagues from North America, ARIN, so we are both serving the Caribbean community, and we have a specific cooperation agreement with CTU, that is an organization, a Caribbean organization, in order to support the development of information society and internet in the Caribbean region. Those are some examples of activities in which we are involved. So we also sponsor many activities, specific projects and initiatives that came to LACNIC. We thought since the beginning of LACNIC that those those organizations that have some bureaucratic functions on the internet have some sense to the community if we can take advantage of the capabilities of the organization in order to impact also in development aspects. But the other part of the question that the organizers has made was regarding the lesson learned about that. I think so the main lessons probably is the concept of the partnership. All the activities that we run related with development in the region are done in partnership with other organizations. So the impact of those activities are bigger because we are not only impacting in the result of the activity itself, but also in the creation of communities and alliances that have creating synergies greater impact in the community. We are very strongly involved in the regional process that is named ILAC. That is for summarizing, is the regional agenda in information society. In fact, in next February will be a meeting in El Salvador for defining the goals for the next 3 years in the region. Second lesson learned is that the multi-stakeholdering is very important also in this process, because if we want to get organizations like LACNIC running and spending resources and involved in many activities toward development or oriented to development, So we have also to take part of the discussion in the definition of the development agenda for the region. If not, it is difficult to get the compromise, the commitment of different stakeholders if those stakeholders don't participate in the discussion. So it is important to get involved the private sector, civil society, technical organizations that have a role beyond the technical bureaucratic functions. As other lesson is that LACNIC has been successful in most of the money that we collect come from the private sector because most of our members belong to the private sector. So probably if they would like to spend 40% of the money that they pay to us for the concept of membership in development activities, that money would not have any impact. But when LACNIC is spending around 40% of our budget in activities oriented to development, it's a way to help to get a flow from the private sector to the community, to the regional community, and this is done through the normal mechanisms of accountability, transparency, and participation that the organization has. So those cooperation and development activities are also subject to those transparency and participation and accountability framework. And this is very important because it's get a greater commitment. When the members of LACNIC are approving the annual report or the budget for the next year, they are conscious that some part of the budget will be spent in those activities. Regarding ICF, I guess I have no time for answer all the questions that you made. I'm trying to address only three of them. As the third is regarding ICF. One conclusion is not a surprise for Bill or myself or other people here in the panel, probably for most of you. But some of us have been insisting that the most important aspects, the most important topics that are under the scope of the ICF are those related with development. If you have been participating in the main sessions, you can appreciate that there are many, many issues related with development and that have big impact in development that are no less controversial than those issues that are presented sometimes as the most controversial issues. I was participating this morning in the openness session. There are many issues related with, for example, the intellectual property, freedom of expression, privacy, the role of the development context, how the people have see that there is a monopolization of some contents, parts of the contents industry. There are many, many discussions that have a big impact in development that are very controversial, and really from those discussions will emerge many ideas and decisions that will have a great impact in development agendas. What is our responsibility there? ICF itself is very positive. In fact, it's an environment in which we have a very good interaction with other stakeholders. In fact, I'm coming back this Friday to my office with at least three or four new ideas for running new projects, new initiatives that have emerged from the discussions and the interaction with other stakeholders here. So the ICF itself is very positive and very good. But we as stakeholders have the responsibility of bringing the results of the discussions, the analysis of the discussions to the big community, in order to influence the agenda of every organization. But probably some people could say if the ICF take no recommendations or resolutions, so what is the impact of the discussion here? I think that the impact depends on ourselves, because what we are doing here probably is influencing the agenda of all the organizations related with internet governance for the next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Raul. And now we turn to Henriette Esterhuizen.
Thank you, Bill. I think as Raul said, there are many of us that worked very hard, particularly during the first IGF, to insist that development is a priority. And I think the first thing we learned is that it's not always that easy to define exactly what the development issues are in internet governance. And it's not a trivial issue. And I'll come back to that. But Bill asked about risks, and I think there are risks, even though I believe very firmly in the importance of development being key in this whole process. And I think the risk can really be summed up by what is our actual policy challenge and our participation challenge of the IGF. And for many of us, it is about the notion of the internet as a public good. And even if you don't agree that it is a public good, I think there's a fair amount of commonality about believing that internet policy is public policy, or at least some of it is public policy. And if you begin to introduce special and differential treatment there is a risk. Well, I recognize that in WIPO it's worked very well because you're dealing with one institution and a set of policies and regulations. With internet governance, the issues are dispersed and the institutions that make the decisions are dispersed. Some of them are actually anonymous. And so special and differential treatment does have some risk. But at the same time, there are rewards. And I think the rewards are inclusion, participation, building more understanding, and developing solutions that meet specific needs. And I think also just the notion of agenda conveys prioritization. And I think prioritization often leads to more effective change and action. So I do agree it's really worth doing this. And I think there's some specific issues that, in terms of action, that such a development agenda in the internet governance sector can focus on. Access. I think that's come up repeatedly. And it's very interesting to reflect that at the last IGF, there was a lot of contestation about who is responsible for addressing the access gap, the market or the public sector. And it was actually quite conflictual, the discussion in the access panel. This year, it's not. This year, I sensed much more consensus that you need a combination approach, an asymmetrical approach, recognizing areas where there is market failure that needs different types of intervention. And to me, that does indicate that we've learned, we've moved on from one year to another. But where do we go next? And I think this is where a development agenda can certainly help us. There are specific issues. There's interconnection costs, which several of the panelists mentioned yesterday. There's the development of services and applications. There's also access to knowledge. And then if you do adopt this combination approach of private and public investment jointly filling the infrastructure gap, there are business model gaps. There are corporate governance gaps that need to be looked at. The other issue I think that has emerged very much in the context of the openness theme is standards. And I think this is a really key area for a development agenda to focus on. Christiana has already mentioned open source and some of the WIPO development agenda issues. But I think we've learned at this IGF about technical standards and how powerful they are and what cost implications they can have. And these implications are really key for developing country consumers, governments, and business. And therefore, I think there's a whole layer of issues there that should be explored from a development context. Next is the ongoing issue of policy and regulation and enabling environment. And again, I think that there's a lot of consensus about what needs to be done, but I think there can be more concerted action and learning if some of these issues are approached from a development agenda perspective and with learning being driven by developing countries as opposed to by international organizations or international financing institutions. I think we are still, in terms of policy and regulatory reform, we're still very much in a paradigm where developing countries get knowledge from the outside rather than developing their own policy and regulation models. And this brings me to something that I've been reflecting on quite a lot, and I've just been to an ITU summit in Africa, Connect Africa, and that's the difference between competition and a competitive environment. And I hear governments and I hear the private sector talking about how competition is the answer to development of the ICT industry and infrastructure in developing countries. But I think the way in which competition is being introduced doesn't actually create a competitive environment. It just creates access for companies that did not previously have access. And that's not enough. And by competitive environment, I mean an open access model, which is a term we often use, where all players can enter the market, be they local small businesses, internet service providers associations, community organizations, as well as big international companies. But just opening the market for large foreign investors to come and solve the problems is not the solution. So here again, there's a need for learning and exploration. And then I think the final issue is around, and I think it's been mentioned by other speakers, the decision-making processes itself. And I think Bill has mentioned that in, and I said earlier, in IG, it's very dispersed. We've heard Rahul talk about how LACNIC facilitates participation. We know that ICANN has done a lot to facilitate participation, online access, but it's still actually quite controversial and difficult. How do you really participate when the decisions are made in so many different places by many different people? And some of the decisions are hidden. Some of the decision-making platforms are hidden. And many of them are very arcane. They're technically complex. We heard someone from the IETF earlier this week talk about the Internet Engineering Task Force, how sometimes they are developing country participants and the IETF does support their participation, but they often come, but they don't speak because it's not easy to gain really effective entry to those spaces. So here again, I think we've actually made a proposal to look at a mechanism that can begin to create some kind of common platform around access to information, participation, and transparency that all the different places that are institutions that are involved can use. And then finally, Bill also asked us about research. I think that would be very useful. I think the five themes of the IGF, as well as the emerging issues theme, I think each one of them could benefit from being explored from a development agenda perspective. And I think that's probably a very concrete action that I would recommend.
Thank you very much, Henriette. And now to wrap up this part of the program, Peter Helmans.
Thank you, Bill. It's a tough act to follow after Henriette, I must say. I'm the last speaker here. Henriette was very inspiring. She posed many challenging questions and proposals, which I will not comment on now, but hopefully in the course of the discussion later on. But really, the challenging part is to be a last speaker. You need to be interesting. People have already perhaps fallen asleep. No, not after Henriette spoke. She has been quite awakening. But still, how to inspire you? So, Henriette, you said one thing. You said it's not easy to define what the development agenda is. And perhaps I'll be very, very easy here and say that we have these two topics in the agenda, the development agenda and internet governance. And what I think is if we start really from the approach of a development agenda, we can look at the Millennium Development Goals and think about taking them as a starting point. So there are issues of health and education, poverty reduction, gender equality, the environment, and partnership. And I think the first and I think most important part is poverty reduction. The first Millennium Development Goal actually calls for the eradication of extreme poverty and hunger. From that also follows other issues, improvement in maternal health, reduction in child mortality, the fight against HIV, AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, and other infectious diseases, helping to support the environment and gender equality or supporting gender. And I think if we take those as originating points to say, when we talk about internet governance in the context of a development agenda, so let's see what we do on the internet and with internet governance, how does it really help to eradicate poverty? How does it help to reduce infectious diseases? And how does it provide more primary education and so on? So it was interesting. Yesterday I moderated a best practice forum of Sri Lanka and Tunisia. And what struck me in Sri Lanka is they said, we'll put all of these internet access centers into the rural communities. And I asked, have you done studies on the effect of internet on poverty reduction? He said, well, we haven't really done a systematic study, but we have enough evidence from examples where Before, you had people struggling with their agricultural work to feed a family. And when they had internet access, people started building up websites, and all of a sudden they were able to sell their services, and they would bring in money. And with that money, they could buy enough food and to feed more than the family and become richer than their parents. And that was some evidence he cited why Sri Lanka was going towards this kind of a digital agenda. So what seems to come from that, first of all, perhaps a need to do more studies, more empirical studies, to show how internet can support a poverty reduction. I think another example that has been widely tested is the example of the Grameen Village phone, where you give the power of communication to the ladies in the village, supported with some micro finance credit, which on the one hand provides for gender empowerment, but I think the concept behind is really to provide women who are often more concerned with the well-being of the family, rather than men who are more concerned with gambling and drinking and other stuff, to provide them with income. So again, give them the power to have an income, helps to feed their children. It reduces malnutrition of the children and therefore reduces infant mortality, and so on and so forth. So I think from that perspective, just starting out with poverty eradication and giving the power of ICT into the hands of ordinary people to find their way out of poverty, I think that is a very good starting point. And if we look at issues and institutions of internet governance, of do they help to achieve that goal, or are they just some kind of cuckoo nest where people just think that they need to delve in power politics between nations? I think that's an issue that is dear to my heart. So I think what we should look at is how can we expand internet effectively for people to help themselves to get out of poverty. So I think I'll make it short to be able to get into the discussion. But I think what's necessary to look at is if you talk about ordinary people, it is they who know how they can get out of poverty, perhaps with the help of someone who can teach them a couple of things. How can we enable them to, through some sort of way, participate in defining what is relevant or not? And I think that is a completely different perspective than the one offered by our friend Cristiano, who was talking more like the top-down approach of governments negotiating in international organizations. It's probably important, too, to have that. But I think the component of development is something that very much happens on the ground, and we need to look at bottoms-up development and how can we get this participation. So there's more to it. I have another page here, but I'm stopping now so that we can get into the discussion, and I hope I've been challenging a little bit to bring in new concepts.
Thank you very much, Peter. Listening to the presentations, it's clear that there's a fairly strong degree of consensus among people that we need to find ways to mainstream developmental considerations into internet governance discussions more effectively. We've heard some examples of things that are being done in particular institutions like LACNIC that are very engaged in programmatic activity, partnerships, and so on. But we've also heard at the same time from Henriette the point about the distributed nature of these mechanisms, the fact that decisions are in many cases sort of hidden, arcane, and so on, and people don't know where and how to participate in them, which raises the question, how then would you press developmental considerations in those spaces, where applicable, without having some sort of coherent development agenda that entails, for one thing, mapping the space, knowing what's where, knowing who's doing what, etc. So this brings me back then, I guess, to, okay, we all agree, at least the people up here, that development needs to be brought into this more thoroughly, and everybody agrees that IGF can play a role. So the question then I'd like to ask everybody is if you could maybe be a little bit more precise about exactly how could IGF play a role, given given its circumstances. Henriette mentioned that development issues have been touched on. Oh no, that was Raul. Were touched on in the main sessions. Well, lots of things get touched on in the main sessions, but touching on them doesn't really necessarily progress them, right? I mean, it's fine that we have panels of speakers and they're talking about access or diversity, and some development issues get mentioned in the context of that, but it's just a panel discussion, and then it ends, and we move on. So my question, I guess, I want to ask is, are there ways in which we can imagine leveraging the possibilities provided by the IGF as a multi-stakeholder platform to try to pull together a more coherent vision of development, of the internet governance space relevant to development, and identify priorities, possibilities? I mean, I'm curious, you know, Peter mentioned the MDGs. What would be the Millennium Internet Governance Development Goals, right? How would we think about identifying them? So I just want to, before we open to the floor, see if I could maybe press people for any thoughts specifically on the IGF's potential role. Does anybody have any?
Sure. If you like, I can start. I think the last question I would like to comment on. I don't think we need an internet governance Millennium Development Goal. Why? Because internet governance relates to the internet, and internet is part of, let's say, call it ICT. And I think ICT is underlying many things in society and the economy and in politics. It is cross-cutting. So when I talk about poverty reduction using ICT, the goal is poverty reduction. The means, the mechanism could be ICT in conjunction with something else. So I don't think that we need an extra IGF kind of Millennium Development Goal. However, what we need to do is, as an input into the IGF, make sure that what we decide in the IGF, or what we recommend, or what we discuss here, and the implications that has on the institutions that are active in internet governance, has the understanding that this is affecting real people. This is not a theoretical exercise for academics to talk about. Sorry for you, Bill. It's not purely an academic exercise. It's not purely an exercise for governments, for nations to fight out whether sovereignty is affected by this or by that. It is about real people in real life situations, and how can we help them to move up on the ladder, to So I think that's the input, not IGF into MDGs, but MDGs into the IGF.
I was actually being facetious with that question, so I probably misdirected you, but okay.
I support that, Peter, but I also think we need to distinguish between the ICT for D agenda and the development agenda. I think the ICT for development agenda addressing substantive social justice and equality, poverty reduction goals really need to be, it is a global issue, but it's also in some ways, it requires strategies and action at national level, at local level, at community level. I think what interests me about the idea of the development agenda is creating more of a level playing field at a global level, at an international level, creating more transparency and more public policy in a way, because I think ultimately, as we've seen with issues of trade and intellectual property, you need justice at that global level, at a multilateral level. And I think, to me, I think that's very important work, but I also think that the IGF has a responsibility to try and establish what are the global governance issues that we can tackle that will make a difference at a systemic level. And when I say it's not easy, I think that's the part that's not easy.
Okay. Raul?
Yeah, I think that early in her first intervention, Henriette said something that is very important. That is the difference between the discussion in the IGF last year and this year. And I think I just took notes of something that she said regarding there was a lot of discussion last year regarding who was the responsible if to address the development issues, if the market of public sector. I think that's from this point of view, there have been a lot of progress in the discussion this year. As if we go to one specific point, like that has been mentioned here, that the access or interconnection issues, we can see that the discussion this year is absolutely different than the discussion that was held last year. I remember in Tunis, I was a bit desperate in the discussion in Tunis regarding the internet connection because there were two very different positions. One position saying we have a problem, this is unfair, we have a problem with this, but without seeing clearly what should be changed. As the other position in the opposite, diametrically opposite, saying the market would solve everything. As probably the last year, the discussion was a bit deep in IGF, so everybody had to accept that the problem was a bit more complicated. And this year, if we look at the discussions regarding access, so we had very proposals, the relation between contents and the traffic, and the how can the exchange points impact in better conditions. In fact, there is a very interesting workshop after this 6:30 about that. It's very interesting. So I think that I anticipate that the same thing will happen in other issues like intellectual property. We have at this moment some positions that are in the antipodes in the regarding intellectual property. I think that's probably in the next 1 or 2 years we will see progress on those issues, because we are not going back home and come back next year as we are doing nothing for 1 year. The discussion continues in many places. So as the ICF is feeding. This is what I tried to say before. The ICF discussion is feeding the discussion in many different processes, many different organizations. So I think that the ICF already has an impact in development issues. Probably we can do that better, as probably one of the things that we could do is to reduce the agendas as trying to priorize. This is something difficult because this is a decision that has political impact. Any issue that will that remain out of the agenda for next year will have defenders that will complain. But mm-hmm. This is something that we have to do. So next year, in openness, instead of having 7 issues to discuss, we will need to have 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. So the impact will be greater. Mm-hmm. But I think that the ICF already have an impact.
Okay. Brief comments on the particular role that the IGF can play. Carrying this forward, then I want to get to the audience. There are some people percolating and waving at me already. So, try the.
Raul was confused in Tunis. I was really confused in Athens. When I get there and there was no document, I was accustomed to always negotiate some text and being hours saying it's yes or no and or what. But I must realize that this issue, this new version of the IGF, has been an evolution of the previous one, and we have been studying all the different issues through this year. So, my only concern is how developing countries can get involved in the whole process, and how the right people in developing countries can be the ones addressed to catch some subjects and study them for the next version, and if they will be able to go to India.
Thank you, Bill. I'm trying to answer to your question. I think that the IGF provides a very positive and conducive environment for initiatives such as that, which is the Internet Governance Development Agenda. And yesterday I had the opportunity of seeing also Minister Jill together with the government of Italy, launched a very interesting initiative, which is the Internet Bill of Rights. And when I think of those two initiatives, I would dare to devise that there are two main challenges ahead of the IGF. The first one is to consolidate the forum itself. And the best way to consolidate the forum is by fulfilling the forum's mission, as it is set out in paragraph 72 to 78 of the Tunis Agenda. And the second challenge, I think that Peter Helmholtz has touched upon this very important issue, is how we can move beyond workshops in a setting such as that, in a multi-stakeholder setting in which governments, the private sector, and the civil society participate on an equal footing. But how can we achieve decision-making? I know that there are many critics regarding traditional institutions such as WIPO, WTO, and regarding what you can say, which is governmental environments. But how can we go beyond that? And my feeling is that we have to look at, again, the Tunis Agenda and see that recommendations are there, are foreseen as one of the main tasks that the IGF has to perform. So these are some thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Cristiano. Okay, we have some minutes for opening discussion. Several people have had their hands up already. Where's the roving mic? Is that over there? Are they functioning?
It's on. Did it.
They're often quite mysterious. Okay, so Zhao, if you don't mind being the mic master. Also, Juan Fernandez here had his hand up, and these two gentlemen in the front, and somebody over here, so and in the back, so just you'll have to look around. Okay, we don't have a real lot of time, unfortunately, so please be reasonably concise and also tell us who you are. Thank you.
Very brief. Well, I'm Juan Fernandez from Cuba. I want to apologize to some of the panelists because I have to step out for a minute. And I'm going to be very brief. First, I want to share some ideas, but very brief. First idea that I totally agree with the moderator or the chairman in his opening introduction when he said the relevance of doing this. I think it's very relevant. It's very needed. It's very important to do research. And I agree with my friend Peter, but I think that there's a need for academics to do research. And I'm only going to point very quickly two things that we have to research. One thing is, what development are we talking about? You know, there's the different concept of development. In the 90s of last century was this development, human development, that was developed, by the way, in UNDP, this concept. So that's the one thing that we have to do research. And the other thing that's related with this, that points the relevance of what it has to be done, is that from the point of view of developing countries, sometimes the use of ICT that is being proposed to us is the same use as in developed countries. And sometimes that is not the model of use of ICT that is relevant for developing countries. We have to make a distinction of the consumption of using ICT as a consumption and the use of ICT as a tool for this development, that in the first place we have to define the objectives of this development. Maybe we will have to have our own goals. Maybe, I don't know, but we have to define this development first. Thank you.
Thanks, Juan. Whichever of you.
Thank you very much. My name is Wolfgang Benedek from University of Graz in Austria. We are following this development agenda also to some extent, and I have the question, why certain issues which were discussed in the past and even developed as solutions, let's say in Geneva and Tunis, are not being talked about or evaluated at all. For example, Digital Solidarity Fund. This was something at the time, now seems to be forgotten. Even in Athens, nobody talked about it anymore. You're coming from Geneva, Geneva Principle. Interesting approach, seems not to have worked. So does that mean that these efforts, let's say top down, towards the development agenda have not worked? Then the question is what can happen bottom up or more market oriented? Where will the next billions of users come from? Obviously from the south, because in the north, more or less everybody has already access. So what does this mean for industry? Can we expect that they by themselves will look into this and this will lead to larger access? Final point, democratization of the information society and the IGF here. I think first step which is positive is that IGF moved to the south. We are in Rio, next time we are in India and so on. But who can participate? I mean, the companies pay their people coming here, the governments pay their people coming here, the academics, difficult, and NGOs from the south, how they're going to fund the ticket. So if we want to have larger participation, something has to be done about it. I remember when we had the World Summit on Human Rights in Vienna, hundreds of NGOs were paid, had a ticket paid by the European Union. That was their contribution to having a larger participation. What about if the registries of the world would all commit themselves to pay a few tickets from academics, from NGOs, from the South in order to allow them to participate and in this way contribute to a stronger voice from the South? Thank you.
Thank you. The gentleman behind you.
Yes, thank you. Suhail Marin from Alcatel-Lucent, telecom equipment manufacturer. I would like to comment on the issue of how of this multi-stakeholder approach, because the problem is that we are coming from different horizons with different backgrounds, and we do not share the same view about the same object. If I say voice over IP, it means different things to different people. It means something to the government, it means something to NGOs, it means something to the industry. So I think that the interest of this IGF, which contrary to the WISIS, which was a political negotiation, even though there were plenty of interesting side events to the WISIS process, but at the end of the day, WISIS was a political process, a negotiation between government. But here we have not the burden of negotiation. We can take benefit to make workshop between different stakeholders to take issues and to come up to a common understanding of what those issues means. And we as industry, we can get enriched from NGOs, but also we can also give our knowledge to NGOs. Yesterday I was witnessing an ICANN open forum, and it was funny to witness because it was very technical in a sense that someone who doesn't understand how the ICANN works could not argue. But still there are other issues that were not pop up, because I think that the problem is that people are at parallel horizon. We are speaking in parallel language. We are not crossing each other. And I think that to answer your question, IGF could be the laboratory where such a understanding can emerge.
Thank you very much. Any questions specifically on the development agenda concept of the gentleman here, and then the ones in the back? Back first, please. Sorry. We'll come to you, though. And please, as time grows short, try to be concise. Thank you.
Yes, Luis Antonio from RITS, from Brazil. Now, as just to talk about an idea that we Latin American NGOs discussed a little on Sunday. Perhaps that's a lot of questions in the development agenda, et cetera, that we have to discuss at this level. But perhaps if we had a regional IGF in Latin America, for instance, or in Africa, but I cannot talk for the Africans. But here in our region, we have a lot of problems on infrastructure that we could face together, because the possibilities of Ecuador is not the same than Brazil or Venezuela, etc., etc. So we have a lot on in this agenda. There's a lot of things that we Latin Americans could face, because if we don't try to set up this regional IGF, sometimes I have the impression that we come here to pray for the international level, the inequality, etc., etc., but our governments are not doing things at the same level in our continent. Mm-hmm. You understand? There are inequality here, problems here, etc., etc. So we could be a little more practical, doing things. And doing things, we can show good practices, etc., etc. And for the example, we can show in practice what could be the ways to face the development agenda problems here. Mm-hmm. That's it. Excuse for my English.
Thank you very much. The gentleman behind would be next. It's been pointed out to me that there's nothing programmed in this room after this session, so we can, for the next half hour, but I'm sure you don't want to stay that long, but we could take a few minutes because I see a number of hands, and I'd like everybody to have an opportunity as much as we can. Yes.
Thank you. This is Badru from Uganda. I'll speak for Africa. I will try to echo the comment of the previous gentleman in terms of, I think, what we need to take away is to localize the IGF debate right now. From here onwards, what we need to do is to take away the issues that we've been looking at here and then localize them and regionalize them. Then they'll actually have more effect than what we're doing. I mean, we're talking at a global level, and as we go in different regions and different places, the challenges are different. So basically, I echo the same comment that before the next IGF, we need to take these topics here and then localize them into the different regions, different areas. I mean, I think there's four people from Uganda here, no one from government. So, and for particular reasons, they didn't come, but they're key to the debate. So I think that's the challenge we have moving on from here before India, is to actually take this debate on a local level and then come back, and hopefully at the beginning of the next session, we go back into what happened during the process of the last 12 months of actually carrying on this discussion and the debate. Then the whole thing won't be an annual get together and meet everybody, shake hands, and go away.
I think with so many hands coming up, the only way to do this logically, perhaps people could just form a line in the center, and then that way, because otherwise, we're going crazy trying to keep track of whose hand went up before the other, so. Yes, if people could just, the people who want to ask questions could form a line, that'd really be very helpful, and then we'll just proceed sequentially. Okay? So then, all right. So then where's the mic, Xiaoxiao?
I have the mic. Does it mean
oh,
I
you
can
have the
ask?
Mic. Okay, well then, after Parminder, we'll go to the.
No, please. I didn't take it at all.
Parminder waits for no one. He never is not going to stand the line.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, I have some remarks.
Who are you?
My name is Ayman Sherbini. I'm from the UN Economic Social Commission for Western Asia. I'm speaking on my own capacity in these kind of remarks. I have a certain remark that I consider the best place to touch is this workshop, which is the differentiation between the development agenda and the IGF agenda. Mm-hmm. I mean, the question exactly is what I wanted to listen. You asked what is the IGF impact on the development. It is straightforward. okay? Because the WSIS was about development, and they discussed everything. The only thing that was contentious remaining was the internet governance issue, so that's why they invented the IGF. So it goes without saying that there is developmental impact because it was discussed before. Now what we need to focus on is the internet governance per se. Internet governance per se is, as it is, its nature is a contentious control of and sharing of power. So I don't undermine at all the issues related to dissemination, to building information society. All these issues goes without saying. It goes with all governments working with the market rules, with no market rules, whatever, interventions top down, bottom up. But the core issue of the IG is the control of the body called internet and sharing of power, things like that. The other things goes without saying. So I just wanted to reiterate the fact that the internet governance is about the macro issues related to sharing and control and rules and things like that and setting the rules. And the other point is concerning the results of the IGF process. I mean, the gentleman here, he said that the Bills of Rights was discussed before. Here's some kind of agenda. And these kind of things, they like raise and they die. Why they do raise and die? Because there is no kind of like working groups. I suggest here, propose to have, we don't need decisions because the IGF is not about decisions. But we need at least to have a like ad hoc working group on blah, 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 or whatever. We need to develop something. Call it Bill of Rights, call it Internet Constitution, call it whatever. We need to develop something ad hoc, bottom up, e-democracy in the IGF that we should exercise. And for this to do, we can also adopt the mechanism of local, regional, global. So if the regional, for example, IGs, five regional IGs, they come up with whatever Bill of Rights or whatever, they take it bottom up, then even within the IGF process that is not decision-oriented, we can suggest results. End of the day. Great. Thank you.
Well, indeed, and we'll come to you next. I'd be just curious, by an informal show of hands, were one to try to organize a dynamic coalition around development and IG, how many people would be interested in that kind of activity? Just so I have some idea. Well, then maybe what we should do is to try to follow up on this by perhaps having you sign a piece of paper and giving me your email address. And I will send everybody a note and see if we can start a conversation. If Zhao Zhao maybe could get a piece of paper, that'd be great. Okay, the next person. Yes.
Thank you very much. My name is Tandim Fundula. I'm from OCISA, the Open Society Initiative for Southern Africa. And I think most of my point was covered by two previous speakers from Brazil and the other colleague from Uganda, regarding the localization or regionalization of the IGF issues. So we are already taking steps to do that, and in fact are preparing to have a course hosted for the Southern African Development Community within Southern Africa for the IGF issues to be tabled and to sensitize people within the region. So that's one step we're taking, because we feel that before the next IGF forum, it's important that people have an opportunity to, at a regional level, to debate and understand and get a better appreciation of what it means for their participation in the whole internet. And I had a question to ask, because it's still not clear to me, although the IGF is not a decision-making forum, which for a lot of us from Africa tends to be a little bit of an issue, because the thing is that we're at the stage where we really need decisions to move things forward. Where do the recommendations, what will happen to the recommendations from the IGF for them to impact on decisions at some stage? Because to have a platform that just talks about it is great, but we need to have some action somewhere down the line and to be able to see at what point the recommendations coming out of the IGF will go into. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. That's actually a very controversial point. And on that, I just want to advertise, because somebody also raised the question, it was actually Cristiano and his comment about the first thing we need to do is fulfill the mandate, that tomorrow morning at 8:30, I'm moderating a panel, a workshop for the Internet Governance Caucus on fulfilling the mandate of the IGF, where we'll be talking precisely about these kinds of matters in more detail. So I would strongly encourage everybody to get up early and come to the 8:30 workshop. We can't offer you coffee or breakfast or anything, but we'd be very happy to have you there. I know that a number of colleagues on the panel are starting to percolate and want to respond to different points, But there are also people in the audience who still want to get their questions in. So maybe we can hold
just questions and comments.
Yes. So maybe if the questions can just be more brief and concise, then we can get back to a circle back and get everybody back into it here. So Parminder and just come down.
My question is, I heard Anred say that part of the development agenda talk was more public policy at the global level, I think, because we are talking about global levels here. So I would like to know what kind of institution or what kind of structure have you in mind which can really contribute? This is a difficult question, but I heard you say so, I thought I'll ask you about it. Just a brief comment on what is the issue of public policy. I do, whenever public policy is mentioned, a lot of people come up and say, would markets do it? And I think it's not either or. Markets do what they do because there are certain incentives, and these incentives are not created in these spaces. They have independent incentives. They're going to do it. They're doing well. That's fine. And public policy is a different system, and IGF is about public policy. That's its mandate. And we discuss public policy not as something against the markets, but it's a different thing. Markets are doing what they're doing. They have independent incentives. These forums are not going to create incentives for the markets. So I think whenever a public policy question is taken up, bringing up the market issue, whether I think it won't happen by policy, so let markets do it, is a diversion we should avoid. And also, bottom-up processes, consensual processes are good to give policy options. But political space, it's finally about different people having different interests and their conflicts of interest. So finally, there is to be a political process which goes beyond complete consensus. There should be a high degree of consensus, but there are things which really go a bit beyond consensus. And that's why I'm talking about the kind of structures which could make that public policy, and what has Enrit or any other panelists have to say about it.
Thanks. Anybody who wants to?
I don't know.
Can I just say we'll take like maybe three more questions, Guru, if you want to get in line maybe, and then we'll go back to the group.
Hi, my name is Etienne França. I work for UNFPA Brazil, it's United Nations Population Fund in Brazil, and my question would be, what do you think would be the next step? I mean, to moving forward in terms of not having these issues discussed just in workshops. But what would be the instruments or the frameworks for this?
Please, if you're interested in the idea of sustaining this discussion, sign the piece of paper for a dynamic coalition on the way out the door, and then that way, Zhao Zhao has it, and that the way to do it is to actually do something next. Yeah.
I think Bill asked a very fundamental question. How do you get development into IGF, or how do you ensure IGF moves the development agenda forward? And whether through this coalition, the question of how do you handle development at IGF, or how does IGF further the development agenda? I think this coalition and the next IGF at Delhi are good opportunities. And I think one important way by which we can move the agenda forward is to get traditional development actors who are working in health, education, agriculture, livelihoods. There are several of them, and they're all actually working on information society issues. There's this NGO in India called the MKSS, which is a NGO working with women and with farmers, and they launched a campaign which led to the Right to Information Bill and Act in India. It's a revolutionary bill because it forces government to part with government information, and that empowers people. And they haven't heard of IGF, they haven't heard of VISIS, they haven't heard of any of these forums, and they have enormous ability to contribute to this. So I think the next panel, if it's more diverse, richer, with traditional development experience, it will help us. They will define what development in the IS is, and that will enrich this discourse.
Thanks. Well, hopefully the opportunity of being in Delhi will provide some possibility. So, okay, nothing from Abdullah. I was kind of waiting to hear from the Saudi government, but no response. So, okay, there's one last one over there, and then we'll go to the panel for because the people do need to move on.
Okay, well, since Parminder is standing up, I was going to respond a tiny bit to what he said. But no, it's okay. It's me. Stand, sit. It's good. I understand what you're saying about the...
Sorry, who are you?
My name is Andrew Mack. I'm with AM Global Consulting in Washington, and we do a lot of work with IT and emerging markets. And I also have a little bit of experience in this field because, partly because in an earlier version of my life, I worked both with an NGO and also with the World Bank on some of these issues, right? And I will agree with you completely that there is sometimes an unreasonable amount of faith in the market, broadly writ, as a concept. Absolutely. But I would caution all of us here, as we're looking for development, one of the things that drives development is being able to attract investment and to create employment as a result. And so if you'll disaggregate the market a little bit and focus on individual people who need to be spending their money and making investments and that kind of thing, I do think that there is, that whatever policies you do, that we don't want to disconnect them completely. It's not government or private sector. In most of these instances, it's government and private sector. And the smaller the economy, the more important it is that both work hand in hand and in a cooperative way.
Okay, thank you. We're touching on a lot of issues related to development generally, but I wanted to talk about a development agenda in particular. And so I'm just going to get one last question from Abdullah from the Saudi government in the hope that maybe he has a thought on the topic.
Thank you, Bill. Abdullah Darab from Saudi Arabia. I was not intending to take the microphone until you pointed at me. Actually, I asked for the microphone, first of all, to thank you for this and all of you for this nice workshop, which, in my view, in addition to enrich the knowledge and in my view, all the participants, but also it proved my point. That is clear from some of the questions we have heard, that the IGF is a coffee shop. People is a coffee shop. People come, get coffee, talk, and then leave. They don't take decisions, and they don't, even if they put recommendations, they leave the recommendations on the table. They don't know where to take it. If they take it to the guy who's selling the coffee, he will not even look at it, you see. This is the problem with the IGF. So what is really, in my view, the solution is that the people, the participants, they could use the IGF as a vehicle, and they themselves, not under the umbrella of the IGF, they themselves decide what to do and what is the right thing to do. Exactly. Thank you, Bill.
And that is exactly what I was envisioning with the idea of having some sort of a group. People who are concerned about this can carry forward the conversation, and if they can percolate some coherent ideas up into the larger discussion of the IGF and have means to do that, I think that'd be very constructive. All right, so let's do a quick round, because I know people need to leave, but they want to respond to several of the points that were made.
I already got the mic.
I thank all of you for your very interesting comments.
I already have the mic.
Peter wants to start.
Henriette is itching to say three words, but if I give her the mic, she will say more. I'll hold it for you. Three words.
I never say more than I say I would say.
Okay,
I wanted to say in response to Abdullah, that's why coffee houses, coffee shops and tea houses have been so politically powerful in world history.
I think actually I liked also what Abdullah said. Although I hear the criticism about the IGF being a non-decision-making body, and I guess what you wanted to say is that there should be decisions made. But I like your answer, and I think I like your suggestion that the solution is the people and the decisions should be taken by themselves. Because that was one of the things that I had as one of my themes. We don't have time to go through all of that. But I think giving individuals the power to determine their own fate how to make a better life for themselves is important. And I think IGF mechanisms to allow some sort of aggregation of this decision-making power would be something we need to look at. Quickly going through the list, Juan mentioned research and for development. I think I agree very much to it. And you asked for which model. He's left already, huh? Yeah, I don't have to answer that one. then there is a question from the University of Graz. Yes, I agree. Next billion of people will come from the south, and industry is developing low-cost access models so that that the next billion actually will have a chance to even pay for the access. You were asking also about money for people from the South to participate. I would invite anyone who has spare money to go tomorrow morning for breakfast meeting at 7:30 here in the Windsor Borough for donors who want to fund the IGF. Suhail talked about the multi-stakeholder approach, and I liked his saying that we from the industry can actually learn from the NGOs. We get enriched and informed by NGOs, and I think the benefit very much of the IGF for industry is that it broadens our perspectives. There was a recommendation from Latin America for regional IGF, which I would support very much, and also from Uganda to localize the IGF. I think, yes, it is in line with what Abdullah suggested. I think what we should try to have, perhaps, is many, many different levels of IGFs on the local level, regional level, those where people determine their own fate and say what's important to them. Because, actually, I do very much disagree with the gentleman from UNECWA. I do think the IGF and internet governance is not about the power struggle of who rules ICANN. Because I tell you, go into a country. Let's say I lived in Egypt more than 20 years ago. Go to the people in the country who go into the internet cafe today in Luxor or in Aswan or in Edfu or Esna and ask them, okay, how much do you think is the ICANN or the Department of Commerce affecting your life? Zero. Absolutely zero. And it is about giving the power of the internet to the people and not talking about power politics on the international level. I think that's the wrong approach. I'm sorry. It is about people and it's... But I think I agree with your other approach, which is about bottom-up development. I have many more comments, but I think I'll give the microphone to someone else because otherwise I'll be taking over.
I think Raul needs to bowl. So.
Yes, I had many things to say, but Peter, you said his time and mine. So I am tempted to argue one more time with my friend Abdullah about his last statement, but and prove that your theory is wrong. But I will postpone that for other moment. I think that the conclusion is that there were a lot of good questions and comments. I think that's with different positions in some cases, but everybody with the same objectives. That is to transform, to create some energies from these kind of forums in order to improve the development in all the worldwide. So I think that we should continue discussing those comments, those initiatives. I think that's your idea to create some place for some common place, some new coffee shop. I think that's about without marijuana, please. Not coffee
Did
shops like in
Amsterdam. Marijuana?
Okay, so thank you very much. I hope to continue discussing with all of you, and so see you in the cyberspace.
Thank you,
thank you for the people in the workshop for the nice questions. There were two questions about places to debate about internet governance in Latin America. Well, there are two already. One are the LACNIC meetings, which are open and are really excellent. All the experts of the region go there, and some others not from the region. And also, we have proposed to the regional plan of action the creation of a working group to study internet governance subject. It's coordinated by Argentina, but it's a multi-stakeholder group that you can participate. Yes.
anybody who hasn't signed up who want to.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll finish with
thank you all of you for all the questions. And I guess there are two main aspects that were mentioned by the audience. The first one is how to empower the IGF, how to make it capable of delivering, making concrete such interest proposals as an internet governance development agenda and the Internet Bill of Rights. But when we get back to the World Summit on the Information Society, the Tunis Agenda, Everyone who is careful enough to take a look at paragraph 78 will see that recommendations are a part of the IGF mandate. And it is a task to be pursued in the next 4 years that we have ahead of us. The second point, I guess that it was the gentleman over there who touched upon a very important subject, which is that the information society agenda is twofold. The first one is the whole set of issues which are related with ICT for development. And the second one, which is, I would say, internet governance in its in a more restrict sense or in a more itself, which is how we what we can do, how can we change the international system to mainstream the principles of multilateralism, transparency, and democracy in the management of critical internet resources. And now to conclude, Bill, I'd like to come back to the idea of an internet governance development agenda. I don't have the outline of it, but I would dare to say what it should include in my humble perspective. I guess that all the elements on the Tunis agenda and as well as on the WIPO development agenda, which are related to collaborative development on the cyberspace space, which are related to free flow of information, to access to content, to alternative licensing schemes, to free and open source software, they should be part of this development agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Well, I'll start by agreeing with Cristiano about that mapping of the development agenda. But just to respond, I think, I'm not sure I understood the question about public policy perfectly, Parmenda. I think not all aspects of policy and regulation around the internet is public in the same way. But I think, for example, infrastructure development and policies and regulations around access to infrastructure and use of internet infrastructure, I would see that as public policy because it is essentially a public infrastructure, even if it's privately owned and managed. And I think these are the kind of models that we should look at, you know, private ownership and management, but still with accountability to a public policy and regulatory framework. On recommendations, I almost grabbed the microphone from Bill because I've been working in ICT for development for a very long time, not like 15, 20 years. And I have been to so many events where there have been pages and pages of recommendations agreed to by ministers of finance, by governments. I've worked closely with the UN Economic Commission in Africa for many years. And they are never implemented, or they are implemented in a very gradual, incremental way. So I don't actually believe in recommendations. I don't think they have power. I don't think they change action or policy. They might influence. But they don't, the assumption that recommendations lead to action, I don't know how anyone can actually make that assumption. It just simply doesn't work that way. It's more complex than that. So I think the recommendations need to be made at another level. And I think the audience told us what level that should be. And that's the level of national spaces, regional spaces. And at a much more concrete level where specific problems are being addressed and you come up with not just recommendations but with solutions and with partnership agreements about how to address them and make them less ambitious, you know, sort of tackle one problem at a time. On the role of the IGF, I agree that I understand the need to fulfill the mandate, and I understand the frustration of people who want to see change. But I think if we turn the IGF into a decision-making space, we'll lose its power. I think as has been said by some of you, it's a space where understanding takes place, where understanding of common positions, of differences take place, and where individuals can speak as individuals as opposed to representatives. I mean, Abdullah introduced himself as from the Saudi government, but I actually just thought that was Abdullah. And I related to your comments, not as comments of the Saudi government, but your comments. And I think that is what's really special about the IGF, and I don't think we should lose that. About how to go forward, I think the regional national space is a very interesting idea, and I think we should look at how to implement that. I think research. I think, and there are a couple of things that have come up. Measuring progress is one. Indicators, that's an area that's come up. New mechanisms for more transparent and inclusive governance in this field where the decision-making is so dispersed. I think that's an area. And I think finally, accountability. There is still a need for accountability. So also looking at how this informal governance universe with self-regulation increasingly emerging as a solution, how does that interface with traditional accountability where governments step in and take responsibility? Because we don't want to lose that either. Just as a thematic area from a developing country perspective and as somebody who works in development, the mobile space. Mobile internet is opening up issues in all of the IGF themes, and I think it'll be very interesting for us to explore them from there are open source issues, open standard issues, access to knowledge issues, so that's also an interesting area to pursue. You can switch the lights off again, I'm finished.
We've got to go. There's another event in here in 5 minutes. Thank you very much for coming and contributing. And if you are interested in staying in touch on this issue, there's a piece of paper up here. And if you have not signed your name and email, you certainly are welcome to do so. Or you can give me your business card, which is easier.